Hello, and welcome to Selective Hearing, a space for honesty, healing, and transformation. I'm Julie DeMar, author, filmmaker, and host of this podcast. We've all practiced selective hearing. This podcast is about more than just a conversation. It's about breaking barriers, fostering understanding, and stepping into the best versions of ourselves. So take a deep breath, open your heart, and join me. What does selective hearing mean to you? Good morning, everyone, and happy Monday. I am here today with sleep coach and holistic therapist, Carrie Cooper, and we are going to talk about a lot of beautiful things, especially, are you getting enough rest and how rest is so important in our life? And I'm excited to talk about this because I'm a mom, 4-year-old, almost 7-year-old. I don't sleep and I'm in school. So we're going to talk about how these things can impact our lives. And if we need to use me as a guinea pig today, we can. So, look, Carrie, thank you for being here with me.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So I really want to just know your story. So the way that I always do things is in the very beginning, I allow each guest to just share how you got started.
Yeah. So I'm one of the lucky ones. I always knew what I wanted to do for a living. I always knew I wanted to be a therapist. It's probably from like my own upbringing and through middle school and high school. It was a struggle. It wasn't easy. And a lot of my friends struggled. And no one ever felt like you had that adult to talk to without being judged. So I always knew I wanted to work with kids, be that adult they could talk to without judgment, but be able to help guide them on their journey, which was so important and I think so lacking at one point. So I went right into like very traditional therapy. Somewhere into my career, I was like, we're missing a piece to the puzzle here. Like kids are getting better, but they're not getting 100%. And what are we missing? And then I started a whole journey onto health and wellness and how that so drastically impacts your mental health through so much more education that I took on and also a certification in sleep science. I learned that, you know, how you sleep, how you eat, if you're exercising, this all impacts not just your physical health, but your mental health. And as a therapist, you're never really trained to even look at that or ask for that. So I dove into actually writing 2 books, Mental Health Uncensored, 10 Foundations Every Parent Needs to Know. And in them, I talk about the actual foundations, and 5 of them are physical, 5 of them are mental. And one of the physical ones I wrote about is sleep. And that's where I took a deep dive into sleep and the research and was just amazed at how this is truly the key to everything. Even when we talk about, you know, exercise or nutrition, it is so hard to exercise when you're tired. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, so hard to eat well when you're tired. And when you sleep at night, is when so many of your hormones of I'm hungry, I'm full are all made and functioning. And if you don't have that, it's going to be an uphill battle. So I decided to, you know, I have my therapy practice, but I also decided to create a whole second business, Sleep Solutions by Carrie, which is where I do virtual adult sleep coaching. And it's based on, you know, a CBT type of model, a cognitive behavioral therapy model. And it really shows results. And one of the things is just, you know, changing your relationship with sleep. It's not something to battle. So I work with people on changing their relationship with sleep and changing, you know, how they're going about getting it. And it's really the foundation to all mental health and physical health.
This is so new, but this week, I just told you I have a 4-year-old. I have a almost 7-year-old. I let them stay up late all of spring break. So I threw them off. My bad. Monday, my 7-year-old wakes up and he's like, just a mess. Can't stop crying. Everything from the toothpaste to the color socks I picked out to what he was getting ready to wear. I knew it was because he was tired. So this is where I'm going with this. It's so easy for us as a parent to look at our kid and say, you're doing that because you stayed up to 11 o'clock and now it's 6:30 and we're awake. Mm-hmm. Let's spin that on adults.
Thank you. I always say that. I always give the example of when a child is melting down over like socks or whatever, and they're a toddler, everyone's like, oh, they missed their nap. And everyone goes, yeah, that explains that. But when we have teenagers melting down, when we have adults melting down, how many adults are just like quick to anger or frustrated or can't problem solve? And no one goes, are you tired? Did you get a good night's sleep? And even, you know, I give corporate talks because if your employees are sleep deprived, they're going to make mistakes. they're not going to be able to function well. They're costing you money. But you're right. As adults, we forget that the sleep is so important.
You said in your pre-show that sleep is the foundation to mental and physical health. So, what are some of the most common sleep issues that you see and the impact of those?
So I think there's a few. So one of them is that people can't fall asleep at night. That's a very common one. That's where a lot of my phone calls come from. It's I'm trying to go to bed, my head is spinning, thoughts are racing, I can't settle down, I'm staring at the clock, it's now 3 in the morning, I'm freaking out, and I'm not getting enough sleep. So with that, there's certain cognitive behavioral approaches to that where you have to stop staring at that clock and counting down the hours of now I'm only going to get 4 hours. Now I'm only going to get 3 hours. I'm not going to be able to function tomorrow. Because what does that thought pattern do? It creates more anxiety within you. And then you're definitely not going to fall asleep. You know, like you're creating that. When you've created this anxiety about bedtime, and I think a lot of people do this by accident, they all of a sudden associate bedtime with anxiety or a bedtime with a battle to like gain your sleep. So when you see your bed, and you're like, oh no, it's bedtime again. That is not going to help you sleep. So that's one of the biggest issues I see and that I have to work on with people. The other issue I see is that people are waking up and they just don't feel rested. They're like, I'm sleeping at night. I wake up, I don't feel rested. And it's like, well, what's really going on throughout the night for you that's either waking you up throughout the night, making you not fall into a deeper sleep? And a lot of that I'll look back throughout the day and be like, how much caffeine are you consuming? Are you consuming alcohol before bed? Like, are you eating too late at night? Is your body able to, when you go to sleep, do nothing but repair itself at sleep? Go into your proper, REM cycles. Because people don't realize that when they're eating too late or they're drinking or caffeine, your body needs to take care of that first before it can really detox, before it can sort out your memories throughout the day, before it could pump up your immune system. All of that stuff that happens at night can't happen if your body has another chore to do. I don't think people realize that a lot of times, especially with everybody drinking too much. Well, the glass of wine helps me go to sleep. Right. But now there's alcohol and sugar in your body, and your body needs to deal with this. So you're not getting a restful sleep.
I watched this. It was like a mini doc on Lenny Kravitz. So Lenny Kravitz has a like bunch of land in the Bahamas where he grows his own food and he eats really clean. He eats like a raw fruit and veggie diet. And he has this farm and he has this little trailer on it. So cute. I actually want his life. So he started speaking about how he eats, what he eats, and how he never eats after a certain time, especially when it gets close to bed. And the interviewer asked him, well, what if you get hungry in the middle of the night? And what if you wake up and you're feeling hungry? He was like, I would never wake up in the middle of the night and eat anything. He was like, I would just drink water and go back to sleep. And I started doing that. I started doing that. I keep water next to the bed. If I wake up, I don't eat past 7 o'clock anymore. But I also, if I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm hungry, I'll drink water and I'll go back to sleep. That has been a game changer in my life, a huge one. So I kind of want to get into that with you about, the struggles, all the struggles that contribute to things, our diet, like you said, alcohol, anxiety, our past traumas. How are we going to
It's all
break
there.
these, all these things,
It's all
right?
there. And really, how you structure your day, how you prioritize sleep too. You know, when we talk about eating late at night, it's normally because you're running around too much, or you haven't taken the time to prepare food maybe ahead of time if you need to. You haven't planned that out. So now you're right, 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night, and people are like, oh my gosh, I need to feed myself or the kids or whatever. And now there's takeout or processed food or something quick. And it is, it's too late to be eating. It's not good food for you. And this all impacts how you feel. This all impacts how you sleep at night. So, my kids always laugh at me. We are like 5:15 dinner people all the time. And I have 4 kids and they're all involved in activities and all of that. We figure it out, we make it work. And it's hard. It's not easy. My Sunday is spent prepping. All right, what are we eating this week? Let's go food shopping. What can I prep ahead of time? But it's that way so I can, after that time, not eat again, eat early, and then be able to actually relax and spend, family time and quality time and feel like I'm able to have downtime before I go to sleep. That's another issue with a lot of people. They push and push and add way too much in their schedule. And then they're like, well, I want downtime. And now they're binging Netflix at 10 o'clock at night. Which isn't helpful. And that goes back to a bigger issue with, being able to say no to things and only taking on what you really should be taking on and what you want to take on. And it also, it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? When you actually sleep better, you're able to be so much more productive during the day. You're able to be focused, things get done quicker, you're not dragging. So people are always like, you can't tell me to go to bed 2 hours earlier because I'm not going to get everything done. And I'm like, if you go to bed 2 hours earlier, the next day, you're actually going to be able to get more stuff done.
So I'm back in school right now. I don't know if I shared that in the pre-show, but I'm back in school right now. So my life has been flipped upside down with balancing the kids' schedule, school schedule, life, husband, all that stuff, the things. I have noticed, okay, I'm 40 now, back in school, everybody. I have noticed that when my brain goes, I can't do homework, I can't focus, I can't watch another lecture, I can't do anything. I have to go to sleep and I have to just pick up where I left off the next day. And I had to re-implement the thing that I call the timer, where every task has a timer. And once the timer goes off, the task is complete. If
I
it,
love that.
regardless if it's done or not, it's complete until the next time we pick it up. And that is helpful. So I want to get your input on that as we move into the effects of all these things that we're talking about.
Yeah, so much of it is about structuring your day properly. So you're right. Like whether it's a timer that works for some people, their to-do list, whatever it is, but it's also like for me, it's blocking time. I know from here to here, I'm doing this, from here to here, I'm doing this. And I look at my day-to-day, and if something's not going to fit in that time schedule, it's not going to get done because I'm not going to sit here and do something at 8 o'clock at night. It's not going to be good. It just won't be. I won't be productive. It's going to take me three times as long. So that needs to wait till the next day. And again, it comes back to that prioritizing your sleep. I work with a lot of college students, and I tell them all the time, especially around finals week. So, remember this, around finals week,
It's
you could
coming.
study all day long. And if you're going to study all night long, your brain will not process that information that you just studied all day. It's during your REM sleep that your memories are processed. So all that information, it needs time to be sorted out into your memory network. If you're not sleeping, you're doing yourself a huge disservice. Like all that studying is not going to have anywhere to go. So you have to prioritize the sleep.
And she's telling the truth, everybody, because I'll tell you a funny story. I just hit a wall. So I am actually studying to be a psychologist, and I am
Love that.
in developmental psychology as it pertains to childhood, psychological development as it pertains to lifespan, and psychological testing and measurement all at once. I got an assignment for journal reviews that looked exactly like when I was sleepy, another journal review assignment. And I emailed my professor, like, hey, this is a moral question. Can I turn in this journal review assignment in both classes? And I sent her the assignment, and she was like, well, no. Because even though you assessed different things in this assignment, my assignment means you need to actually review assessments. And I was like, my bad. Everything's running together. It's almost the end of the semester. Like, I was like, everything's crashing and burning in there. But you're right, because I'm still trying to find my balance and my way in this with all, when I was in school in my 20s, I had no family. So it's a little different.
Absolutely. And how much time did that take you being like, wait, can I take this paper and do this paper and let me send this email? And like it takes all this time out of your schedule.
And then when I was reading the email, I was awake. And when she told me, like, you assessed, and I'm asking you to review assessments, even though both were requirements in the regards of psychological testing and measurements, there were still two different requirements for the reviews. So I was like, I see that now. Okay, thanks. But that happens. So I want to talk about how you mentioned that we hear what promotes our story. And this is a selective hearing related question, everybody. But we hear what promotes our story, which can keep us stuck. So, how do you think sleep, lack of it, all affects the way that we interpret and process conversations?
There's so many different avenues I can go down with that question, but I think one of the things that we hear a lot in terms of our own story is that I'm too busy to take care of myself. I'm too busy to be able to sleep at night. I have to do all of this to be successful, to be worthy, to be a good person, a good parent, a good worker, whatever our story is. And then that's kind of all we hear because that's what we're focused on. So it's, oh, well, this person did this and this, and I need to do this and this. And you start hearing what everyone else around you is doing. And you take that in as if you have to do that to be your best version of yourself. And again, when we take in everybody else's stories, when we take in that noise, we don't put ourselves first. And when we don't put ourselves first, we're definitely not putting our sleep first. And then everything actually falls apart.
That just, when you were talking, it makes me think about the old, you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't pour from an empty cup.
You really can't. And you know, one of the things that really started me on this sleep journey was I work with a lot of, you know, teenagers in my practice, and I had a lot of parents showing up, and we would talk about parent strategies, and they'd be like, yes, you're right. That's how I want to interact with my children. That sounds so much better. And they'd come back to me and they're like, I have no patience. I'm blowing up. I'm not doing what I want to be doing. You know, I have a short fuse. And, you know, I'm mad at myself over that. And then when we start talking about, you know, what does their life look like? And are they fulfilled? Are they happy in their life? Are they sleeping at night? And they're like, I'm exhausted. I'm like burning myself out. I don't sleep. And it's like, well, how do you expect to show up as a good parent if you don't sleep? Mm-hmm. If you're so burnt out, how are you possibly going to have patience?
Facts. Have you ever met
Facts.
met a sleep deprived mom with a newborn? Like,
right. No. I mean, oh my gosh. And, you know, listen, that's a stage of life that you just, there's no sleep trick to this. You just need to get through that stage. But it's funny because we understand that stage. We're like, oh, she's a new mom. No wonder she's wearing mismatched like sneakers out because, you know, she can't think properly. Like, we get that, you know? But again, like once you no longer have an infant, everyone's like, what do you mean you're sleep deprived? Like, nobody really gets it anymore.
That's why conversations like this are so important.
Yeah.
So that people can understand.
If you want to be the best version of yourself for you and for others, you need to take care of yourself. And that does not mean, you know, just going to the gym or meditating, all that stuff is great, but none of it is really going to help as much as it can if you are not sleeping. And by the way, when we're not sleeping, we are more likely to get physically sick. Your immune system really kicks on at night. Like, that's when it's producing everything. That's when it's detoxing everything. You're going to drag. You're going to get yourself sick. It's funny because lots of times, you know, people will notice like, oh my God, I'm so sick. I'm down for the count. That's like almost your body telling you, you need a break. Like, you will be forced into a break if you don't take it.
Yeah. I caught the kindergarten cooties last year for like 2 months. Like,
yeah.
When it probably would have been like 2 weeks, but last year I was in a state where I just had too much going on and I wasn't being good with me. And I caught the kindergarten cooties and I was sick from like Thanksgiving until New Year. It's like every episode, if you listen, I'm like super congested. Like, yeah, hey, everybody. Still, you know, trugging along on the hamster wheel, trying to, you know, cape for everybody else, not realizing like, hey, girl, take a break. And then I had like, when I realized like, yo, I've been sick for like 2 months, I had to like shut the show down and step into what I needed to handle. But that's so true.
Like, true.
One bite.
You know, if you listen to a lot of professional athletes talk, especially, they talk about how important their sleep is because it's when their body repairs itself. And it's like, Yeah, this is when our body repairs. And although we may not be professional athletes, we are running. We are running around. We are putting stress on our bodies. We're putting stress, you know, on our brains. And you need to be able to take that time to repair.
I told you guys I was going to use myself as a guinea pig today. I don't want you thinking that. Like, oh yeah, Julie's all smiles and sunshine for us on Monday. Like, no, Julie is like in and out of crazy town a lot. But let's go here. I want to talk about some practical tips that you can share for improving sleep. I know we talked about like going to bed earlier, not drinking caffeine, not drinking alcohol, things like that. But what are some of the things that are most effective that you can like do right now if you're not sleeping well?
Right now, set up a wake time. Wake time is actually more important than what time you go to bed. Set up, what time am I going to wake up every single day? And please don't believe the myth that you're going to catch up on sleep on the weekends and that you could sleep in late on weekends and everything's going to be fine. If you have a sleep problem right now, set a wake time every day. On the weekends, I'll give you like a 45-minute difference, but that's really it. Because if you have a consistent wake time, you're going to kind of force yourself to go to bed at the time you need to go to bed in order to get a restful sleep. That's one, I think, of the most important things. The second thing is to actually make your sleep a priority in your life, which is huge. And one of the other things that I really want people to understand is that you don't need expensive sheets or mattresses or, you know, any of these gizmos and gadgets out there. Just make sure your room is very dark, that you're comfortable in your bed, that you're not overheating, that the temperature's kind of low. And if you can, you could even do a sound machine because sometimes people aren't aware that outside noises that they may not even understand is waking them up, may be waking them up. So to set up your sleep room where it's comfortable and inviting and where you feel good in there and where it's dark, cold, and quiet.
So no sleeping with the TV on, everybody.
No sleeping with the TV on. And put your phones on do not disturb. They shouldn't even be in your bedrooms. But I understand if you have kids out, you may need a phone in there. But besides that, you don't need your phone on.
My husband is a TV sleeper, like, and he watches, and I wake up in the middle of the night and turn the TV off.
Yeah.
He's a TV sleeper. And everybody, he likes to watch Jason Bourne before he goes to bed. I don't know. I can't stand the movie anymore because of his
Yeah.
that being his sleepy time movie. I know,
Yeah,
like
it
when
is
he gets
not
in.
good to fall asleep to a TV, a screen, or anything like that. When we talk about, you know, not eating too late or, you know, that type of stuff, don't be on your screens too late. The blue light really does impact us. You know, take an actual book and read it. That would be great.
I'm what do I say, like factory shutdown? You know how you factory reset your phone? When
Yeah.
I finally get into bed and I roll up, like I'm just like, that's it for me. But him, it's like a whole process. And then he gets into bed and he turns on Jason Bourne. And then I wake up and turn off Jason Bourne. And it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah, he loves, I don't know what him and he has a thing for all Tom Cruise movies. So off subject, but Tom Cruise and Matt Damon. And if I ever see them in person, I might kick them just because, like, please don't make any more movies right now.
You could tell them that
Look.
they're ruining his sleep. Yeah.
No more boring movies, okay? Or Mission Impossibles.
Yes.
So, okay, so I before we wrap up, I do want to, I know we just gave like a couple of tips, but I
Yeah.
do for someone who's like, I'm struggling with chronic sleep issues, how could they find the language for this to reach out and communicate to a professional for help? Like, what should they be looking for and how should they be approaching you so they can get the most help?
Absolutely. Sleep coaches exist. We're here for a reason. You know, this is a huge problem, especially in America with sleep. So you reach out, you know, you go onto my website, Sleep Solutions by Carrie, and I have actually podcasts there that also talk about sleep and all of that fun stuff. And reach out, send an email, be like, I need help with this. And help is there and it's available, and it doesn't take all that long to actually switch your sleep routine once you have the skills and the tools.
So you guys hear that? And here I go. Here I go. I love to. So at the end of my shows, it's no excuses, Carrie. So
Okay.
you said Sleep Solutions by Carrie is your website.
Yes.
So you guys just heard that here. And it's in the show details. And it's at www.selectivehearingshow.com on the resource pages. So there's absolutely no excuse for you to say, hey, I have this problem. Let me reach out to Carrie and ask her all the questions that I need to get on my journey. So, Carrie, thank you for being here with
Thank
me
you.
today and having this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And everyone, okay, it's Monday. Check in with me and Carrie. Let us know how you're sleeping throughout the week.
Yes.
And until next time, this is Selective Hearing.